Wow, it is hip to be square. Hi, I'm Scott Montgomery, and I'm here in Studio 5 to bring you another edition of Talking Scott. So, American Psycho has sold more than 1 million copies in these United States, and has raised quite a controversy. I've got the author, Brett Easton Ellis, with us today in the studio to talk about the book. Hi, Ellis. This is a real treat.
Hey, Scott. Hey, it's great to be here. I want to thank you for having me on the show. It's cool, you know, that people are still talking about the book. You know, it's very flattering, really.
Hey, did I mention I'm wearing A. Testoni loafers? Just joking. But seriously, it's a really fantastic book. Some say the best of your career. What was it like writing it?
Thank you. Thanks, yeah. You know, that's a really good question. Honestly, it was a lot of fun. I had a great time writing Psycho. You know, I'm a very slow writer, you know. It took me about 3 years to finish, but I had a great time. You know, the whole thing was just, it was a blast, really.
Now, the critics of 12 years ago would be appalled at that statement, wouldn't they? I remember critics called it everything from boring to extremely disgusting. What were some of your first reactions to those comments?
Yeah, it was really brutal. You know, I remember being so confused, you know. It was just so hard to get it published, and even afterwards, just to get it out there. I think really I was frustrated because they just didn't understand the book. You know, things they were saying and assuming, they just weren't the author's intention at all. You know, just it's not the author's intention. And it really frustrated me at first. It definitely did, yeah.
Definitely. Readers today, though, have warmed up to the book. They seem to understand it. What is it that readers misunderstood 12 years ago?
Well, they didn't pick up on the satire. You know, it's funny. It's a funny book. And I think readers are just now realizing that. I can see how some people could get caught up on the really violent aspects of the book. And I'll admit that it's not free of violence, but that wasn't my intention. It was written as a black comedy, and people just couldn't see past the black.
That's a great way to put it, Brett. Can I call you that, Brett? You called it a black comedy. Is that how you would define the book? In what ways is it comical?
Yeah, well, you know, I would define it as a critique of male behavior, and especially the upper class male. You know, I think it really makes fun of that stereotype, the Wall Street businessman, the yuppie consumer, right? You know, I meant for it to poke fun at the materialism in America, but, and here comes the violence, right? That wasn't enough for a novel, you know, it just wasn't enough. It needed a character to give that comedy an edge to it, you know? And actually, the character came first, really.
That character would be Patrick Bateman, 26-year-old Wall Street businessman, and like you pointed out, a big spender. What inspired such a bold character?
Well, you know, I'd be lying if I said the book wasn't a bit autobiographical. For years, I've had that question posed to me, and I've derailed it, you know? But I'm starting to realize that it's really not so bad to just be honest with my audience. Yes, most every book I've written has been inspired by a certain time in my life, and this one is just, it's no different. You know, I was in the same culture at the time. You know, I was surrounded by that same consumerism. I was, you know, 23, 24, 25, and I was doing the same things as Bateman. You know, I was going to at least some of the same bars, the clubs, the restaurants, and really, I felt alienated and isolated and angry, really. And so, yeah, Bateman really was a manifestation of the frustration I felt in that culture at that time. It really is an autobiographical work. Now, I will protect myself from the inevitable and say that there's no specific instance or event in that book, or any of the books for that matter, that I could point to and say, you know, that happened to me. You know, I was in that exact situation, you know. But yes, you know, the book is more than a little bit autobiographical.
Wow, really interesting stuff. Well, we're going to take a short break, but we'll be back with Brett Easton Ellis right after this.
On fire. Don't touch me, I'm a real live wire.
Alright, we're back in Studio 5 and ready to pick up our conversation right where we left off. If you're just joining us, I'm Scott Montgomery, here with Bret Easton Ellis, author of the controversial book American Psycho. So, Bret, readers have pointed out some stylistic tendencies in the book that seem just too precise not to be intentional. Would you care to comment?
Yeah, I definitely wrote the book with a clear style. It's a first-person narrative, which I chose really purposefully. Again, it was autobiographical, but I found it to be really fitting with the character and the state of his psychosis. He'll narrate long chapters in which he talks to the reader about doing such mundane tasks as, you know, grooming himself or working out. I remember writing a few chapters where he rambles on about his favorite tracks by Phil Collins. Now, this really did two things in my mind. You know, it helped develop the character, but it also, at least I hope, it helped to demonstrate just how insane he really is.
Right. You said that grooming himself seemed to be of large importance to him. If I may, I'd like to read some of the passage that you're referring to. Vidal Sassoon shampoo is especially good at getting rid of the coating of dried perspiration, salts, oils, airborne pollutants, and dirt that can weigh down your hair and flatten it to the scalp, which can make you look older. The conditioner is also good. Silicone technology permits conditioning benefits without weighing down the hair, which can also make you look older. On weekends or before a date, I prefer to use the Grün Natural Revitalizing Shampoo, the conditioner, and the nutrient complex. These are formulas that contain D-panthenol, a vitamin B complex factor, polysorbate 80, a cleansing agent for the scalp, and natural herbs. Wow! What were you, the author, trying to convey by writing this extremely lengthy description of his bathroom routine?
Well, many people could argue, you know, that it demonstrated to the reader just how insane of a person Patrick Bateman is. And, you know, I wouldn't necessarily disagree, but, you know, I would say that it more so is a window into the culture of the upper-class male at that time. Again, it's a critique of high-class male behavior, and this is really apparent in that passage. At the time, you know, the late 80s, men were being looked at and glamorized like never before, in terms of beauty, right? Suddenly, you know, men cared so much more about self-image, and this only fueled their egotism. I was really trying to convey this message, you know, that men had become narcissistic, really beyond belief.
Ah, self-image, of course. Well, this has been really insightful, but I just have one more question. I hear they've made your book into a movie. What did you think of it?
Yeah, the question everyone wants to ask, you know. I liked it, actually. I liked it, yeah. Surprising, right? I know, yeah. But I really did, you know, I really did. I thought it did very well to capture all the key aspects of the book and really drive home the overarching message. Even beyond that, though, you know, Christian Bale did a really extraordinary job, and everyone really captured the satire very well. If someone asked, I'd have to recommend it.
Wow, that's incredible. Well, we're just about out of time here. I want to thank you so much, Bret, for stopping by. This has been great. Hopefully, we can see you again soon.
Thanks, yeah. You know, this is really enjoyable.
All right. I'm Scott Montgomery, and this has been Talking Scott. Tune in next week for an interview with Joanne Smith. Psycho Killer.